This is a download from the Post Keynesian Economics Study Group, PKSG. For more information and terms of use, please visit www.postkeynesian.net.
Mansook Park is Professor of Economics at Korea University in Seoul and currently a visiting scholar here in Cambridge, where I understand he also took his MPhil many years ago. He wrote his PhD under Ian Steadman at Manchester in 1991, since when he's made many contributions to the post-Keynesian literature, including to the attempt to synthesize the surplus approach associated with Pierre Ostrafa, among others, with that of the general theory. Mansoup is truly a Cambridge Keynesian in the spirit of Joe Robinson and Luigi Pazinetti, I believe I am right in saying. Fabio Petri is Professor of Economics at the University of Siena and was also formerly a graduate student here in Cambridge. His main research interests are in the theory of value, capital and distribution, the theory of aggregate investment, Ostrafian and Marxian economics and comparative economic systems. And I'm delighted that Fabio has kindly agreed to come over from Siena to give us an initial response to Mansoup's talk in order to set our discussion going.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much for kind words about me and also inviting me to the seminar. And also I'm very grateful to Fabio, who has flown over all the way from Siena to discuss my paper. I feel quite honored. Right, the paper, the title of the paper sounds quite pompous, I think, and grandiose. It mentions two great economists, Ostrafa and Keynes, and to be more specific, one of the most controversial aspects of Ostrafa's theory, given quantities of output, and one of the Keynes's great contributions, or some may say the Keynes's greatest contribution to economics, the principle of effective demand. Well, Mark just mentioned that I have been trying to synthesize Keynes and Ostrafa, but I think that synthesis is beyond my ability. I'm just saying that I'm trying to find some common place between Keynes and Ostrafa. And in this particular case, that common ground is where Ostrafa takes the quantities of output as given when he determines, or he discusses the determination of prices of production. Because then we can use Keynes's principle of effective demand to determine the quantities of output. Well, the idea is quite simple, because Ostrafa took the quantities of output as given, and then we can use Keynes's principle of effective demand to determine the quantities of output. But of course, how to do it is another matter. Well, the idea has been around for a long time, and I think this idea was initiated by Pierangelo Garagnani in the early 1960s, and I myself was introduced to this idea right here in Cambridge in early 1980s. Mentioning Garagnani, I would like to express my immense respect for him, who sadly passed away last year. You may see that there are lots of influence of his view on this paper. Well, there are some economists who think that Keynes's view of the capitalist economy is incompatible with Ostrafa's, and some post-Keynesians say that post-Keynesian economics should exclude the Ostrafian approach, but I'm of the opposite opinion. I think it is the duty of Keynes's and Ostrafa's later generations to reconcile at least some aspects of their economic perspectives. Well, I've got two experts on Ostrafa and Keynes here, and by trying to find common place between Ostrafa and Keynes, I may be inviting their criticisms, because they may not be very happy with my approach. But the judgment, of course, is yours, and you'll tell me how I am successful or how I'm bad later on after the presentation. So the objective of the paper is actually they are the same. They are two sides of the same coin. To show how the given quantities of output in the Sharpe system can be interpreted as those being determined in accordance with Keynes' principle of effective demand. And also, to say the same thing, to provide a framework for the long period analysis of effective demand, which is compatible with the classical Sharpean perspective. To do that, in this paper, I use some concepts and ideas. But the main concept, the key concept, is that of long period position capital equipment, and the parallel concept is a fully adjusted position. I'll explain them later on. And the main idea is that long period position is not far away to be achieved. It is in the present, now, in this period. And long period analysis have sort of two parts, and traditionally it has been, the second part has been emphasized, but first part, which is the long period in the current period or in the present, has been neglected. So I'm going to emphasize that aspect. And for that, I propose to analyze three states of the economy, and I'm providing three corresponding systems of equations for those states of the economy for a long period of analysis. So first of all, the long period position capital equipment is quite simple, actually, but it has been just neglected. Now we start from this existing capital stock. We start from this period, and we have this existing capital stock, KT bar. And if this capital stock is utilized at the full capacity or normal capacity, output will be YT star. And this relationship is done, it's specified by the technique, right? And if output is at the normal level, we have corresponding savings, that is normal capacity output. And corresponding to that, we have investment, and next period, the capital stock will be at this level. And this capital stock has been possible because investment is made at this level. But this investment level is corresponding to full capacity savings. Therefore, this investment is not autonomous because it is in must the same as the capacity saving. So I call this a warranted investment. Of course, the concept of warranted comes from Harrod.
You spoke of full, but perhaps you meant normal.
Well, yes. At the beginning, I just don't distinguish between normal and full. Of course, later on, I'll distinguish between normal and full. So main thing is that this warranted investment is not autonomous because it is required investment to utilize the given capital stock at the normal level or full level. The autonomous investment, this is the Keynes' principle of effective demand or autonomy of investment, because investment is autonomous from capacity saving, it must be autonomous from warranted investment. That means the actual investment is usually different from warranted investment, say this one. Right? This is a well-known idea. Everyone knows about this. But at this point, I pose a question. Okay, we have this current given autonomous investment. And because this investment is smaller than the warranted investment, this capital stock will be utilized at a lower than normal level or full level. Take the example. Say the size of capital stock is 100, and if this capital stock is utilized at the full capacity, then the output is 100 units. But at the moment, the output has been produced at YT, which is, say, 80 units. That means the degree of utilization of the existing capital stock is 8%. All right. So at the moment we have 80 units of output. Then I pose the question: if the capital stock would have been 80 units rather than 100 units, these 80 units of capital stock could have been utilized at the normal level to match this current output at full capacity level, right? And we go back to this one. So if we are given actual output, then we can calculate the capital stock which could have been utilized at the normal level to produce this actual output. So this, I call it long period position capital equipment. Of course, the autonomy of investment means that capital stock, this long period capital stock, is different from the existing capital stock. The reason why I call this capital stock K as the long period capital stock is this. There are two. One is that it is fully adjusted to the level of output. We are, well, given the autonomous investment, we have corresponding level of output. So this long period capital stock, is, in a sense, is fully adjusted capital stock to the level of output. I'm saying fully adjusted, I mean they are utilized at the normal level. And second one is that they are, in a sense, regarded normal by the entrepreneurs, because if we had, as entrepreneur says, that, okay, if you had 8 units of capital stock, you could have been utilized at the normal level to produce current output. So that 8 units of capital stock is considered as normal with respect to the current state of effect demand. So they will take this level of capital stock when they make decisions on investment next period. And I call it as the call this as a reference point role of the long period capital stock, or you may call it center of gravity role of the capital stock. But well, traditionally, center of gravity conception refers to a certain unchanging configuration of the economy where the states of economy converges. But in the growing economy, this capital stock will change over time, and the level and composition as well. So I use just some weaker notion of than that. So I just use a reference point role of this one. Because of these two reasons, I can call this capital stock as a long period position capital stock. Now, this is what happened before. For the next period, now we start the same argument. Just we can repeat the same argument. This KET plus 1 is the same, the starting point. And then if this capital stock KET plus 1 is utilized, had been utilized at the normal level, then output will be Y T plus 1, and et cetera, et cetera. And the investment is at the warranted level. But the investment is autonomous, so it must be, or it's usually different from the warranted investment. It could be this one, or could be this one, or could be this one. And which one? Depends. It is one of the factors which affect the determination of autonomous demand. Demand is this one. The difference between the existing capital stock and what I call the long period capital stock. Well, you may just think of this one as a sort of degree of utilization. This is, in a sense, this corresponds to the concept of degree of utilization. Right? So if this gap is quite big, that means the normal capital stock should be lower, smaller than that, so therefore they may invest less than before, etc. So just suppose that the actual investment has been made at this level, IT plus 1, considering this gap between the capital stock, and then we can calculate the long period position capital equipment for that. Then you can repeat this analysis every period. Then we can have the series of long period capital stock. And also we can have the series of actual capital stock corresponding to actual investment, actual autonomous investment. And also we have this path of warranted growth. We start from KT here, and if this one has been utilized at the warranted level, then actual capital stock could happen here. And then if this one has been utilized at the current level, the warranted level, then capital stock would be here. Okay. So, in a sense, the long period analysis consists of two parts. One is concentrating on this part, especially to calculate this long period position capital stock, and this movement over time. Conventionally, the long period analysis paid much focus on this movement over time, okay? But they never paid attention to this one. So what I'm going to propose in this paper is that we can focus on this level, on this stage. So it's very sensitive. So what I propose in the paper is how to analyze this part of the economy rather than the movement over time. Okay, this is what happens in the economy. And for that, we can first consider this part. Given the existing capital stock, we can talk about the warranted growth. And that we call it warranted growth state. And we have to analyze this state. And I'm going to propose the system of equations which analyzes this state, the warranted growth state. But we know that the Keynes' principle of effect demand means that the investment is autonomous, therefore it is different. Actual investment is different from warranted investment. So we have to consider this part. And taking that autonomy of investment, we can determine the long period capital stock. So together, we have another state that is a long period position state, you may call it. But the capital stock we determine through this analysis is different from the currently existing capital stock. So in the economy, the observed economy is different from the long period position. So we have to consider this observed, or what I call realized, state of the economy. And for that, we have to consider this existing capital stock, the long period capital stock, and the actual output. And this is the third state, and I'm going to propose how to analyze or describe this state of the economy. So altogether, we have three states, and analysis of these three states is, in a sense, quite necessary for a long period analysis in the present. Well, this idea is not my own. I present a paraphrasing of Garagnani's sentence. In 1978, Garagnani published in English, it's a translation of his 1964 Italian papers. And after that, Joan Robinson criticized his position, saying that Garagnani's idea of a long period is quite difficult to grasp, especially the concept of normal rate of profit. And she asks whether this long period is in the future or in the past or floating above the sky as a Platonic idea, right? And to that, Garagnani answered that, oh, it's a pity that Joan Robinson missed the present. She asked about the future or past, but actually she misses the present because it is the present where we can observe the normal rate of profit. So I just paraphrase his answer. Actually, the Garagnani's answer was used as the epigraph of the paper. So it is in the present that the long period position is firmly located because this is a state of the economy which is being regarded as normal with respect to the state of effect demand in the present. It is also the state of the economy that present experience will lead entrepreneurs in general to take into account when they make decisions on their investment in the future. It is very nicely fit into this paraphrasing of Garagnani's answer to John Robinson. Well, you may wonder how this idea is different from short period analysis, and I think that traditionally short period analysis concentrated on these three variables. Perhaps we may, if we have more time, we can talk about the short period analysis later on. Now, we before moving on to this multi-sector economy, so that we can talk about prices of production in the Sampa system, our parallel concept of the long period position capital stock is fully adjusted position. Well, we have various industries, and each industry uses many means of production. Then we can consider the relationship between the means of production, the quantities of means of production, and the quantity of output in each industry. And a fully adjusted position must satisfy two conditions. One, output is produced at the normal utilization of the means of production. This is exactly corresponding to my idea of long period position capital stock. Secondly, now each industry produces some one type of, say, in the single product system, one type of output, and this output is used in the economy as, well, for replacement of used up capital equipment, or as a new net investment, or for consumption. This is sort of demand. So output is produced, and output is exhausted in the economy as a whole. So in a sense, supply equals demand. So these two conditions, if the output production or configuration of output and the means of production satisfy these two conditions, I can call the situation as a fully adjusted position. And now, the task for me is to express this idea in terms of system of equations. Now we have N industries and N means of production. And the following strata, I express this row as the industries and the column, the type of commodities. Okay? So the conditions of the fully adjusted position, if they are satisfied, the quantities of output produced must be expressed in this way, this one. So X is the quantity of output produced, and it is used as the replacement of used up capital equipment and net investment and consumption. Of course, there are many assumptions for this, right? But if you are really not happy with the matrix algebra, then just consider it as a six scalar. It's just like an aggregate economy. Right?
D is the demand, final demand vector.
Sorry?
D is the final demand vector.
Final demand vector, that's right. Well, say the consumption basket is a unit consumption basket. Of course, by doing this one, I'm not distinguishing between, say, wage goods and the luxury goods. Workers and capitalists are consuming the same basket of goods, but this is just okay. We can expand it.
So it's not final demand if you include in final demand net investments. Those would be the second term. It's only consumption.
Yes, sir. Yes, it's actually in Straffa's book, final demand is the final requirement for use. It means different. Yes. So these system of equations represent the conditions for the fully adjusted position. Now, we are now going to connect this one with the Straffa's prices of production. Before that, I have to mention this returns of scale, but I just leave it open because it's quite complicated. Suppose that I'm assuming constant return scale, but just in case I put the star on these technical variables, because depending on the level of output, the technical coefficient may be different, and that reflects these variable returns at the scale in the Marshallian way. But I'm going to say that if you understand variable return scale in Straffa's way, then it's quite different. So we may discuss it later on. Now, the Straffa says that the prices of production is a set of exchange values which, if adopted by the market, restores the original distribution of products and makes it possible for the process to be repeated. Of course, he gives this definition of price of production for the no surplus economy, so in a sense, it's a stationary economy, right? For this relationship between output and the means of production to be repeated every year in a growing economy, we can understand this relationship in terms of the proportions between means of production and the output. Okay? So the relations between the means of production and output is to be repeated if these two conditions for fully adjusted position is satisfied. And you can do it, okay. Just suppose that certain given means of production are not utilized at the normal level. You are not going to repeat the same means of, you are not going to use the same quantities of means of production since it is not utilized at the normal level, right? Fully adjusted position, well, the surplus prices production refers to the fully adjusted position because from his definition of the price of production, it's quite clear. So this is this equation. These equations represent fully adjusted position for outputs. And we get if the output is X star, then you can use this one for Sraffa's system of prices. Okay? So the techniques are here, given here, and then output is there. Okay. Now, if we assume constant return scale, then you can just remove all these X's. Right? Now, this is what happens in the fully adjusted position, but there's another condition which must be satisfied, because now these are for each industries, and these are for each commodity, type of commodity. But for the economy as a whole, we must have the equality between aggregate saving and aggregate investment. So if these conditions are satisfied, we are in a fully adjusted position. Of course, these systems of equation, or system equation is not determinate. We still need some other relations to close it. And that is where I can talk about warranted growth state and also a long period position. The warranted growth state is a fully adjusted position because all the means of by definition, all the means of production are utilized at the normal level, and I just add that demand is equal to supply. So these relations must hold. But to close this system, we add this relation, and this one, K, is existing capital stock. Right? Now this is the at the beginning of the year, we have certain stock of capital.
Mm-hmm.
And if this capital stock is utilized at the normal level, given the technique, this material input coefficient, we can calculate the level of output, which is capacity output. Of course, I am assuming that the current existing capital stock satisfies the proportion for the method of production. So in each industry, you have method of production, and you have existing, the size of existing capital stock, then we can calculate.
This is equivalent to the V in the first.
Exactly, that's right, yes, exactly. A is the same as V, and we can calculate the level of output. So we can calculate the level of output here, and then we can calculate all the other variables. We can calculate P and given W, we can calculate R, etc. So this is warranted growth state. But for the sole reason I consider the warranted growth rate is to calculate what I call the warranted investment. From there, we can calculate the warranted investment. Again, this warranted investment corresponds to capacity saving, therefore it is not autonomous. Now, to introduce Keynes's principle of effect demand, now we can consider the state of effect demand, and we have to represent the autonomous investment, and I just formulate this autonomous investment in each industry as a fraction of warranted investment. Of course, since we are considering multi-sector economy, we have to consider autonomy of investment for each individual industry, not for the economy as a whole. And this formulation of autonomous investment have some nice aspects, I think. One is that it talks about the autonomy investment in terms of volume of gross investment. The reason why I take gross rather than net investment will be discussed later on. And volume, well, actually, later on it turns out that it's quite equivalent to taking the rate of accumulation rather than volume. And this part, this is a warranted investment. It reflects the size of capital stock. Of course, current capital stock is a result of past investment. Therefore, it reflects this capacity generating effect of investment in the past. And ZT here, of course, represents another role of investment, which is in the current period, in the short period, effect of demand constituting effect of investment. And by saying that Z is not necessarily one, that means we are talking about the autonomy of investment. Well, there are, by representing investment this way, over time, Z may change over time. Okay, in the current period, I say, okay, Z is given, but over time, it may change. And we can express that in terms of the recurrence relation with respect to Z, and there are many relations have been used in the literature, but we just skip this slide. The long period position is, again, it's a fully adjusted position. For the warranted growth state, the current existing capital stock was utilized at the normal level, but now long period position is affected by state of effect demand. So what is given exogenously is the volume of investment. So we have to have this one. This part is the autonomous investment for each industry, and that is given as a fraction of warranted investment. If we are given this relationship, then this system is again determinate. We can determine especially the quantities of output here, and corresponding to that, we can determine prices of production. And I claim that this is where SRAFA takes the quantities of output as given, right? And now, as I said before, these quantities of output all these calculations are dependent on the XA is the capital, the actually used up capital stock. This must be different from the existing capital stock from which we started at the beginning. So to the observer of the economy, this is not what is observed. What is observed, even if the actual output is X tilde and the price is P tilde, price of production, the observed state of the economy is different from this one, because in the economy you have existing capital stock. So we have to consider that realized or observed state of the economy. And for that, we have this given existing capital stock. And with that, we can talk about the rate of accumulation of this given capital stock and depreciation of that and corresponding level of output and level of consumption, and also price relations, this one, and the amount of investment, and aggregate equality between saving and investment. But this system is not for short period, even though we are just taking account of the existing capital stock, and therefore we have not uniform rate of profit but differentiated rates of profit, etc., etc., because this system was made in reference to the long period position on the supposition that the price level, prices production, P, denoted in red, yeah, P tilde, and output is also at the long period position level here. Now, this system has some characteristic. If you take P, okay, we start from here, and also we can talk about this later on. If we just suppose that in this system, if price corresponds to actual price, it corresponds to price of production, corresponding to that, we have this long period level of output, quantities of output. Or alternatively, if we assume that if actual output is a long period quantities of output, then for that we have prices production. So in a sense, this is not a system of equations to determine the long period position, because it's just describing what happens in the long period position in the backdrop of existing capital stock. Neither is this the system for short period analysis. It's quite different from that. I skip this one. Now, of course, in the economy as a whole, we have the equality between investment and saving. And according to Keynes' principle of effective demand, it is investment that generates the same volume of savings. But in precise terms, this applies to the economy as a whole. Now, we are considering multi-sector economy for each industry. Now, each industry makes some volume of investment. And due to activity or production, there's some output. Corresponding to that output, there will be some savings coming out of from that investment, from that output. But that saving is different from the level of investment made in that industry. So the mechanism, of course, eventually, there's an equality of between saving and investment in each industry, but the mechanism for equality is different from the economy as a whole. For the economy as a whole, we have this multiplier, say, mechanism to generate savings in the same amount of investment, autonomous investment. But saving in the mind of savers is not industry specific. It is just there as aggregate, and this aggregate saving is allocated into each industry in correspondence to the demand for saving, right? And so we have to consider this allocation of saving, and the place where this allocation of saving is made is the financial market. So we have to consider the financial market. And until now, I didn't really specify the saving behavior, and I find that to consider the financial market, Carlo's 1966 formulation, the consideration of saving behavior in terms of households and firms is very convenient. So, let's say representative firm in each industry makes this investment. So they make this net investment, and investment is financed through the retained profits and also the issue of new shares. Okay. And phi I is the fraction of net investment which is financed through issues of shares. And from there, we have this relationship. Of course, for the economy as a whole, the aggregate saving is the sum of firm's saving, corporate saving, and household saving. And from there, we can have this relationship. So these two goes into the previous system of equations to represent the saving behavior, then we can close the system. Now, this is actually this. So I presented the three systems for each state of economy, respectively. But this economy that I am considering is the effective demand constrained economy. So there are some constraints to be met. The first one is normal utilization. So let's suppose that there's in the aggregate, there's some level of output, and these aggregate level of investment are since allocated, or each industry makes some volume of investment, and they are aggregated, right? So, but this aggregate of investment is in a certain level, we may say, right? So, in each industry, they are having their share of total aggregate investment, or if in the aggregate, there's some aggregate level of investment which will make the existing capital stock to be utilized at a normal level, but somehow they are in each in the industry, the investment is at different level, right? So in a sense, in the economy as a whole, there's some ceiling of the normal the aggregate investment, and this is first equation. Well, there are some lots of symbols, but the purpose is that all these constraints can be represented in terms of Z. That is the variable which represents the autonomy of investment. And the second one is full utilization. Fabio just mentioned just before that we have to distinguish between full and normal utilization. Well, okay, the normal utilization is Z when Z is 1, but each industry or each firm have certain slack of capacity, the product capacity, so that they can meet certain upsurge of demand, and et cetera, et cetera. So we can have this full utilization. We can relax, in a sense. Each industry can utilize their capital stock above normal utilization at a certain level. Okay? And the third one is full employment, of course. We have, in the economy as a whole, we have some available amount of labor, and you cannot exceed that. Of course, I'm not considering this participation rate, and et cetera. This is another secondary matter. And the fourth one is what Sraffa said, self-replacing state. But given technology, well, a given technique could be viable. But since we are talking about actual absolute level of output, this absolute level of output must satisfy the condition of self-replacing state. That means, well, what you produce must be more than, at least equal to, or more than what is to be used for replacement, for production. Okay, that is the condition for self-replacing state. And the third one is the financial market, because defy the fraction of net investment financed through share market is bounded between minus one and plus one. So there must be, Z must be confined in this range. So we may find some constraints on imposed on the values of Z. So how many minutes do I have?
About two.
Two? Okay.
Maybe three.
Okay, this is just this. I'll just do this one, because I spent hours and hours to make this diagram. So I now we consider this Higgs-Spector, two-sector economy. Higgs-Spector, it is called the Higgs-Spector economy. We have this normal utilization condition, and for now, the Z1, the first industry is iron industry, washing industry, and second industry is consumption, pure consumption good industry. So we have this full utilization constraint, and for the consumption sector, we have full utilization constraint for that. And normal utilization condition, which means in the economy as a whole, there are certain aggregate investment, is represented in this line. And we have full employment a constraint. I just deliberately draw this one to cross this one. It may be here or here, depending on the level of labor available. And we have this self-replacing state condition. Actually, self-replacing state condition and financial market condition may not be binding, depending on the technology. But I just draw the condition here. And these two, the upper bound and lower bound of financial market condition. And the economy, right, this one actually is what is called golden age, because we have normal utilization and full employment. But in the economy is in this area. Well, I couldn't paint it, so in this area. Because if you want to satisfy these constraints, it must be here. So I call, in the paper, I call it a diamond, because it looks like a diamond. I don't know whether I like that. Right. Now, through this one, this diagram actually very nicely explained the famous classification of different growth ages by John Robinson. Well, the long period position is on this line here. Oh. Sorry. Now, this one is a constraint on full employment. So the economy is bound by the full employment. And Robinson calls it restrained golden age. And this part, well, there's available labor, but somehow the capacity of the economy is insufficient. So the economy cannot grow. And Robinson called it limping golden age, and after some time, there's a Malthusian population mechanism is in operation. Therefore, the full employment condition will come out. So come in. Then we have a leaden golden age. And the third one is this one. Now, the consumption sector is stretched to the full utilization, and Robinson called it creeping platinum age, because machine industry is so big, so consumption must follow that, consumption goods must follow that, but the capacity of consumption, well, the size of consumption sector is smaller, relatively smaller in comparison with the machine industry. Therefore, there's some constraint. And Robinson called it creeping platinum age. And well, just symmetrically, we have a constraint. We may have constraint in the machine industry. Robinson called it galloping platinum age. But we may have other constraints for full employment. And that is this one. That is Sraf as a self-replacing state condition. Well, the given, the technique in use may not be really sufficient. It's a hindrance to achieve full employment. And also financial market constraints. And because of that, the economy cannot really, well, from here, you cannot approach this full employment, even though the labor is quite smaller, lower. Or the main reason for unemployment is this one, lack of or failure of effective demand, because it is there. But over time, the economy may approach this full adjustment between product capacity and output, but still there's some implication for this insufficient effective demand during the transition time, and that is my last argument, but I leave it for discussion later because I'm running out of time.